Hello there and welcome to the Thursday edition of Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is May the 6th, and as usual, it's great to be with you here on the program. Hope you're going to be able to stick around for the entire 30 minutes. We're going to talk a little bit about joy on the show today. Something hit me when I was looking at when I was listening to the Mass readings today. We will look at the Mass readings, especially the Gospel. The Gospel's short today, but it gives us the secret to obtaining joy. Now, who isn't looking for joy? We are all on some level looking for joy. Unfortunately, we get into trouble sometimes because we're looking in the wrong places. Let's talk about happiness versus joy. Let's talk about the difference. Let's talk about how we can rejoice always, as St. Paul directed us to do. How's that possible? How can we rejoice? What the heck is joy anyway? We'll start by looking at the Gospel and where Jesus mentions that he's going to tell us something because he wants us to have his joy. He wants us to have great joy. When he tells us something, it's going to be interesting to hear what he tells us. It may not be what you would expect. So that's what we will talk about. I also think that I have to at least allude to the first reading from today's Mass because it's a continuation on something we looked at yesterday, this church council meeting to decide whether or not it was necessary for Christians, for new Christians, to first convert to Judaism before they went on to be converted to, before they went on to become Christians. So I want to at least look at that reading just to give you some continuity from what we talked about yesterday. So that's the tentative plan. We'll see how the Holy Spirit leads us. So I invite you to just settle in, relax, put your feet up if you can, make yourself at home, and let's just hang out at the table and talk about Jesus for the next 30 minutes, all right? I'm going to take a sip of my water here, make sure I don't have a coughing fit or anything, but boy, man, it's a beautiful day out. My allergies are okay today. You never know. I really have not been able to figure out this allergy thing. It's I never had allergies when I was young, but then when I was older, they started popping up. But I just can't make sense of it. I don't know why some days are worse than others. But right now, I'm doing well. I'm not having any issues, and I'm really glad about that. Let's talk. Let's pray first. Let's pray to our Father in heaven, and then we'll get right on with the show. Okay, if you would join me, let's go. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father, it's so good to be with you. Even though I can't see you with my eyes, I know you're present. I know, Father, that you love me. I know that you are more powerful than any problem I could ever face in life. Father, I know that nothing will ever surprise you. Even though I am constantly surprised by things that happen in my life, I know that nothing ever surprises you. Father, with that in mind, I'm very confident when dealing with the challenges of life, because I know that you love me, because I know that you are in control, and I know that you want to help me. So, Father, we ask you to help us today with our problems. We ask you to strengthen us through your Holy Spirit to transform us into the image of Jesus. We pray, Father, for a new outpouring of your Spirit for this day. Please give me the words that I need to deliver on this program so that I can deliver your message and not my own message. And Father, open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to this message. And I ask that your message delivered through me would be able to bear good fruit today. I ask these things, Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, well, thank you for praying with me. I know that when I pray like that, I know something just happened. You know, I'll be honest with you, and this is nothing new because I've talked about this with you before. I often go into these programs with just a general idea of what I want to discuss. just a general idea, maybe a sentence or two, a concept. And I am, it never ceases to amaze me where the Holy Spirit takes me. So I mentioned some things that I want to talk about at the start of this show, mainly talking about joy and what Jesus had to say about joy. And we'll take a look at some other things that were that took place in our first reading from Daily Mass today. But I don't know where the Holy Spirit's going to take this, so it should be interesting. After doing this program for years and years, I've really learned to trust in the Spirit. I trust the Spirit a lot more than I trust myself, to be honest with you. So I have a feeling we're going to be in good shape today as the Spirit leads us. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're able to join me on the program. Hope you're doing okay. Hope you're able to sustain the joy of the Easter season. You know, it's not easy. Here we are. We still got a few weeks left in the Easter season. You know, the Easter season was 50 days. It's a long time to continuously rejoice because the Lord rose from the dead. But it's something that we really do want to try to do. We want to acknowledge the Lord's resurrection. We want to acknowledge what a great thing it is for us. You know, we have a risen Savior now. He's not dead. He's not in the ground. He is alive. And he walks among us, which is a great thing. And also, by the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, he made it possible for us to experience our own resurrection one day when our life on earth is over. The end of our earthly life is just that. It's the end of our life on earth. It is not the end of our life. And I think that is such an important but difficult concept for us to put into practice, right? That the end of our life on earth is just that. It's just a phase. It's just the end of our life on this planet. But it's the beginning. It's the beginning of our life, hopefully in heaven. I mean, that's the goal, to be able to live in heaven. We may have to be purified in purgatory first, but the goal is for us to live in heaven, and it is possible, and there is a place reserved for each of us. There is a place reserved for us by the Lord in heaven. And only we can mess that up, you know, but if you just stick close to him, if you try your best, you're going to get there, which is a great thing. So we'll talk about when we talk about joy, I think I just have to mention the resurrection. We just don't want to forget that, because Jesus is alive. He is with us. He leads us. And we'll hear in the gospel today, he will speak to us. So that's critical that we remember that. Anyway, if you're new to the show, I want to welcome you. My name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth, and we do this program every Monday through Friday. It's 30 minutes each day. If you'd like to find out more about the work that I do, including maybe picking up a copy of my latest book, Give Up Worry for Good, or if you want to sign up to my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, all you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. And from there, you can find out all things, a lot of different things about me, including how to book me to give a talk or a parish mission or a retreat at your parish or conference. followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right. So I said at the beginning of the show, I wanted, before we get to the joy thing, I mentioned that I wanted to read the first reading from today's Daily Mass. This is from the Acts of the Apostles. It's a continuation of what we talked about yesterday on the program, one of the things we talked about yesterday, this idea of the church trying to iron out some differences. And this, you know, throughout the Easter season, we have been reading from the Acts of the Apostles, which gives us a glimpse into the workings of the early church. This is what the church looked like. And we, as we look at the church, we realize that there was some debate going here. There were some questions that had to be answered. And under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the leaders of the church met and took up these issues. Now, today, we'll see the result of, part of the result of what happened yesterday, the continuation. That's probably more accurate way to put it. We see a continuation of what took place in yesterday's passage from the Acts of the Apostles, where essentially some of the Pharisees were bringing up the point that converts, new converts to Christianity, should have to be circumcised and essentially become Jews before they went on to become Christians. But there was some debate about that. You'll hear St. Peter have some comments about that, saying that it shouldn't be necessary to do that. So the church hashed it out in this church council at Jerusalem. Let's take a look here. It's Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verses 17 through, or Acts 15, verses 7 through 21, I'm sorry. After much debate had taken place, see, there's debate going on at this church council, and Peter got up. Now, this was yesterday, in yesterday's look at this situation. What we saw yesterday was that Paul and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles about this matter. Is circumcision necessary? So after much debate had taken place, Peter got up and said to the apostles and the presbyters, "My brothers, you are well aware that from early days God made his choice among you that through my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe." Now see, the Gentiles who are deciding to convert to Christianity, they are the ones that are really the subject of this discussion. Do they need to first become convert to Judaism prior to converting to Christianity? "And God, who knows the heart, bore witness by granting them the Holy Spirit just as he did us." So the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. "He made no distinction between us and them, for by faith he purified their hearts. Why then are you now putting God to the test by placing on the shoulders of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we are saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus in the same way as they." So this is what Peter said as he addressed the assembly, the other apostles. "The whole assembly fell silent, and they listened while Paul and Barnabas described the signs and wonders God had worked among the Gentiles through them." So remember, the apostles, most of the apostles had remained in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas are doing major work among the Gentiles, bringing them the good news of Jesus Christ and getting many of them to convert. "After they had fallen silent, James responded, 'My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has described how God first concerned himself with acquiring from among the Gentiles a people for his name. The words of the prophets agree with this, as is written. After this, I shall return and rebuild the fallen hut of David. From its ruins, I shall rebuild it and raise it up again, so that the rest of humanity may seek out the Lord, even all the Gentiles on whom my name is invoked. Thus says the Lord, who accomplishes these things known from of old. It is my judgment, therefore, that we ought to stop troubling the Gentiles who turn to God, but tell them by letter to avoid pollution from idols, unlawful marriage, the meat of strangled animals, and blood. For Moses, for generations now, has had those who proclaim him in every town, as he has been read in the synagogues every Sabbath." So what we see here is a suggestion that there should be some restrictions or some rules, regulations put forth for the new converts to the faith. But this debate, and this debate will continue until the decision is made that no, it is not, the circumcision is not necessary for the new converts, the Gentile converts to the faith. But this happens, the really cool thing about this, it's happening through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides the church, right? The Holy Spirit guides the church to make decisions according to to make decisions, I'm trying to think of a way to phrase this, to make decisions according to the mind of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So the Spirit guides the church into the truth. And this is why the church is so important. And this decision would eventually get rectified. But I just wanted to give you a little insight into the fact that discussion was necessary, because the Holy Spirit can guide us in the same way the Holy Spirit guides the church. But the decisions and the guidance of the Spirit isn't always instantaneous. Sometimes it requires a little work. We've got to work at it. We've got to pray. These discussions were necessary. So it's really good to see how the church deals with changing circumstances, because this continues to this day. There are new issues that have to be addressed. And that's why church councils are called and are necessary, Vatican II being the latest example, in order to be able to address these questions and move forward in what is a changing set of circumstances in the world. But the Holy Spirit continues to guide the church. All right, let's talk about joy. And this is very short. The gospel today is very short. Listen to what Jesus said, because I just think this is so powerful. Well, you know what? Let me read this in reverse order, because I'm going to read the end of it first and then read the beginning, because I think this really illustrates the point. And this is John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. Let's start with verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. So these are the words of Jesus. And if you read my email reflection today, you already know what I'm going to say, because this is what I discussed. But Jesus is essentially saying to us, you know, when we open scripture, when we open the Bible, the Lord speaks to us directly. And Jesus said, I'm telling you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. Now, who among us doesn't want the joy of Jesus Christ in their heart? We all do. We all want that kind of perfect joy. We all are, to one extent, to one degree or another, suffering from some problem today. You know, you might be having a good day, but there's still some limitation, and there are joy killers all around us, different situations. It could be people who really can threaten our joy, and unless we're careful. But Jesus is saying, I'm telling you this. He doesn't say what this is just yet. That's why we're going to back up and read it. But I'm telling you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. Complete joy, the joy of Jesus. Sign me up for that, right? I mean, we want that. So now let's back up a few verses and read what the this that Jesus is talking about really is. Jesus said to his disciples, as the Father loves me, so I also love you. Now remember, the Father loves Jesus. Jesus loves the Father with an unconditional, perfect, infinite love. Meaning that both parties desire the best for one another. That's essentially what love is. If I desire the best for someone else, then I am loving that person. And I do that through my thoughts, my words, and my actions. That's how I love. Love is not a feeling, but love is a conscious decision. Love is a choice that we make. You know, sometimes we confuse, and the world makes this confusing sometimes. We confuse love, the definition of love. We sometimes think, I'm trying to say this in a way that makes sense. We sometimes think that love is all about feelings, but it's not. Love is an action. And sometimes, more often than not, eventually, feelings accompany the action of loving somebody. You know, but it doesn't have to. It really doesn't have to. Love is primarily an action. Okay. So Jesus is saying, as the Father loves me, so I also love you, which is an incredible statement. And when we look at the fact that Jesus did die on the cross for us, it becomes apparent that what he's saying is true. You got to love somebody unconditionally in order to die on the cross for them, right? So we should have no doubt about the extent of the love of Christ for each of us. But he goes on to say, remain in my love. All right, I got no problem with that. I would love to remain in your love, right? Wouldn't you? You'd love to remain in the perfect, unconditional love of Jesus. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So this is this that Jesus was talking about when he said, I have told you this so my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. The way that our joy can be complete, Jesus tells us, is to keep the commandments, to keep his commandments just as he kept the Father's commandments. Now, essentially, we're talking about the same thing because Jesus came to us to show us the Father. And in the physical person of Jesus, we, or those, anybody who has seen him, or in a different way, anybody who has encountered him, as we do, we all can encounter Jesus, especially through his church, we have seen the Father. So we know the commandments. We know what it is that we are supposed to do. And it's not just the Ten Commandments. It is really the updated, the embellished, which is what it is, expanded teachings of the church that Christ founded. So what the Lord is telling us is, if you want that joy in your life, the way to do it is to obey his commandments, to do what he said. And, you know, this is the month of May, so I think it's appropriate to look at the Blessed Mother Mary and to look at her last recorded words in Scripture, which were, at the wedding of Cana, do whatever he tells you. In the second chapter of John's Gospel, do whatever he tells you. She said that to the servants of the wedding feast. And there were no more recorded words of Mary after that. And I've looked at that, and I, you know, in my opinion, the reason she didn't say anything else was there was nothing else to say. Do whatever he tells you. That's the way you and I are going to experience joy, which really ties into what Jesus said today. And ultimately, that's the way we're going to get to heaven. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? And you know why? It is simple. It's simple, but it's not easy because we have challenges in life. We get blindsided by problems. We get blindsided by temptations. We have our own pride that gets in the way. So many times, even though we intend to follow Jesus, to follow his commandments, we often do, we end up doing things that we don't want to do. We do things that we would rather not do. We do what we want instead of what he wants. Now, ultimately, you know, the message that he's saying is, if you want joy, if you want to rejoice, what you need to do is do what I say. To imitate me, which essentially is, you know, that's the job of the Holy Spirit, to help transform us into the image of Christ, so that we always put the will of the Father first before our own will. That's what the Lord is saying. The message of the world is different. The message of the world is, you go out, you have a good time, you get rid of whatever problem you can get rid of. You try to go after as much pleasure in this life as possible, and that's the way you will experience joy. Well, that's not what Jesus is saying. It's a countercultural message. But if you look at the life of Christ, all of his messages just about were countercultural. He often swam upstream. You know, the world saying one thing, Jesus said the opposite. But as somebody who has tried it both ways, I can tell you for certain that he's speaking the truth. And that if you want to experience joy and peace in this life, the best way to do it is to follow his commandments as given through the church, and to really accept whatever happens to you as coming from the hand of God. I mean, if you learn to do that, you're going to be very peaceful. And that really means no complaining. Complaining is useless. I've always struggled with that because I've been a big complainer. I have a tendency to complain. But when you pray at the beginning of the day, if you pray at the beginning of the day, thy will be done, Father, then whatever happens to you should result in a thank you, Father, or thank you for this, whatever it is, rather than, oh, why is this happening? Because we're praying for his will to be done. He's all powerful. And certain things, pleasant and unpleasant, are going to happen to all of us. So I just put this out there, and I challenge you, if you're really looking for joy in your life, to just take a good look at, are you following the commandments as spoken by Jesus through his church? You know, yes, it involves sacred scripture, but sometimes it's more than just scripture alone. As Catholics, we believe that the Word of God consists of scripture and sacred tradition, with a capital T, which is the apostolic teaching of the church down through the ages. So if you do that, I really do believe that you will experience the joy that you are looking for. But just make sure you put it into practice. You know, choose God's will over your will. Sometimes they're going to intersect perfectly, but not always. But when there's a discrepancy, when there is some sort of a divergence of wills there, go with the Father's will, and you're going to always please him. And that's the way you're going to find joy in life, okay? Hey, I've got to get on out of here. I want to let you know that tomorrow I'm going to take the day off, so there will be no Friday program, but I do invite you to listen to my weekly show, The Gary Zimek Show. That podcast will be available tomorrow. Wherever you got this podcast, you can get that one as well. And we'll look at the Sunday Mass readings. But I'm going to take the day off. Got some things going on. I will, God willing, be back here on Monday, and I hope you'll be able to join me on the show. If you need anything over the weekend, just shoot me an email, gary@followingthetruth.com. I want to wish any mothers out there a very happy Mother's Day. Thanks for all that you do. And again, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and I look forward to being with you next time. You're in my prayers, okay? God bless. See you next time. Bye.